Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text Number 3 to 4. Srinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katamritam Sharadano Yata Kalam Upashanta Janavritaha. So the other verse, we'll just read the Sanskrit. Satsangat jana kai sangam atma janatma jadishu imuchin vimuchyamane maneshu swayam swatnavaya vad utitam. Srinvan, hearing Bhagavata of the Lord, Abhikshnam, always, Avatara, of the incarnations, Katha, narrations, Amritam, the nectar, Sharadana, being very faithful in hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yata Kalam, according to time. Generally, a grihastha can find time in the evening or in the afternoon. Upasanta, completely relieved of material activities. Jana, by persons. Avrita, being surrounded. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and His incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement has been established to give grihasthas all over the world an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita specifically. The process is described in many ways. It is one of hearing and chanting. Srinvatam, Swakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana. Everyone, especially the grihasthas, who are mudadi, ignorant about the goal of life, should be given opportunities to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing, by attending lectures in the different centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, where topics of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed, they will be purified of their sinful inclinations for constant indulgence in illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, which have all become prominent in modern days. Thus, they can be raised to the status of light. Punya Shravanam Kirtanaha. Simply by joining the kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, one must be purified, especially if he also takes prasad. This is all going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. Another specific description here is Srinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katamritam. It is not that because one has once finished Bhagavad Gita, he should not hear it again. The word Abhikshnam is very important. One should hear again and again. There is no question of stopping, even if one has read these topics many times. He should go on reading again and again, because Bhagavad Gita, the words spoken by Krishna and spoken by Krishna's devotees about Krishna, are Amritam, nectar. The more one drinks this Amritam, the more he advances in his eternal life. The human form of life is meant for liberation. But unfortunately, due to the influence of Kali Yuga, every day the grihasthas are working hard like asses. Early in the morning, they rise and travel even 100 miles away to earn bread. Especially in the Western countries, I have seen that people awaken at 5 o'clock to go to the office and factories to earn their livelihood. People in Calcutta and Bombay also do this every day. They work very hard in the office or factory, and again, they spend 3 or 4 hours in transportation returning home. That's a lot. Then they retire at 10 o'clock and again rise early in the morning to go to their office and factories. This kind of hard labor is described in the Shastras as the life of pigs and stool eaters. Nainam deho deha bhajam riloke kastan karman arhate vid bhujam ye. Of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. The Bhagavatam 5.5.1. One must find time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is Vedic culture. One should work 8 hours at night at the most to earn his livelihood. And either in the afternoon or in the evening, a householder should associate with devotees to hear about the incarnations of Krishna and his activities, and thus be gradually liberated from the clutches of Maya. However, instead of finding time to hear about Krishna, the householders, even after work hard in offices and factories, find time to go to a restaurant or a club, where instead of hearing about Krishna and his activities, they're very much pleased to hear about political activities of demons and non-devotees, and to enjoy sex, wine, women, and meat, and in this way waste their time. This is not grihastha life, but demoniac life. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, with its centers all over the world, gives such fallen and condemned persons an opportunity to hear about Krishna. In a dream, we form a society of friendship and love. And when we awaken, we see that it has ceased to exist. Similarly, one's gross society, family, and love are also a dream. And this dream will be over as soon as one dies. Therefore, whether one is dreaming in a subtle way or a gross way, these dreams are all false and temporary. One's real business is to understand that one is soul, aham brahmasmi, and that his activities should therefore be different. Then one can be happy. Brahma bhuta prasanatma nashoshati nakangshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim lavate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. One who is engaged in devotional service can very easily be liberated from the dream of materialistic life. Shrinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katamritam Sharadano Yata Kalam Upashanta Janavrita. A grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons. And with great respect, he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasyatyade Satarne. we find that our philosophy is always the same. We're not this body, aham brahmasmi. But although we're not this body, we're now in the bodily concept of life. In other words, although we're eternal, presently we're eternally in hell. It's good to be eternal, but it's not good to be in hell eternally. We don't have to wait till leaving our body before and meet Yamaraj and say you're officially in hell now. That materialistic life in itself is problematic to different degrees. And there's a choice the soul has, as Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that our free will consists of either orientating our existence, our desires specifically, towards the ignorant misconception of identifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, or orientating ourselves towards the true conception of spiritual existence. So that's our free will, and we're exercising it not once or twice, but at every moment. Maya is right by our side, and Krishna is within our heart. So if we want to turn towards Maya, she's welcoming us. And if we want to turn towards Krishna, he's also welcoming us. And as soon as we turn towards Krishna, Maya doesn't give up so easily. As Arjuna says, Asam shyam mahabaho manodur nigraham chalam abhyasena tukuntiya vairagena chagriyate. Actually, that's Asam shyatmana yogo dushprapya ifti me mitid Vishatmana tu yatata vaisham paptu upavisha. That the system of yoga is very difficult, Arjuna says. And then he says, yoga chalati manasa. Arjuna vacha, ayati shariyo peto, yoga chalati manasa. Aprapya yoga samsidim kamgetim krishna gachati. So the word is chalati manasa, that as soon as one tries to make advancement in spiritual life, then Maya will try in so many different ways to lure us back into material existence. As soon as one tries to make advancement in spiritual life, Maya will try to bewilder and trick us. Now, for the ordinary person, she doesn't have to make any effort because people are enthusiastic to be tricked. Matter of fact, if you try to wake up a sleeping person in current modern society, they'll become very angry. Why are you disturbing me? If a person's walking and walking, and he's about to walk over a cliff, and you shout loudly to him, stop, you're going to fall over the cliff, he'll turn around in anger before he falls over the cliff and say, why are you disturbing me? And continuing walking until, why didn't you warn me? So that's modern society. People have no discrimination because they've lost their intelligence. Indriyani hi charitam yanmano nu vidyate tadasya harati pragya vayor navam ivambasi. Just like a boat on the water can be swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. So the boat is going on the water, which is compared to the intelligence, but a strong wind may come and just carry the boat away. So similarly, our intelligence is supposed to be stable, as Krishna had said in the previous verse, nashti moha, nasti buddhi yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, Nacha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kutok ashantasya kuto muka ashantasya kuto something nashti buddhi ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavanaha nacha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kuto mukam sukam. Just like nashti buddhi ayuktasya, one who's not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there can be no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So steady intelligence, to actually look around and see the same thing all the time. to see Krishna everywhere. That doesn't mean necessarily at first we're going to see Krishna with four arms or two arms holding a flute. But at least they look around and see everything in relationship to Krishna, so that we don't think it has some relation with me, independently of having a relationship to Krishna. So if we can see the gross material energy in relationship to Krishna, then we can actually start seeing our moods and our consciousness in relationship to Krishna. Because generally speaking, we officially, yes, everything belongs to Krishna out there, but we get in a certain mood and start thinking, why is Krishna doing this to me? Why is Krishna doing that to me? Why is Krishna taking my things away from me? Who does Krishna think he is to interfere with my life? So, intelligence doesn't mean to accept superficially, but to actually prepare our intelligence develops as much as we perform practical devotional service, as much as we practically utilize Krishna's energies in Krishna's service, so that we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. If we want to see how much we've actually accepted the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and that we're not mudhadi, then we have to see how often during the day do I actually remember Krishna in the mood of devotion. Now we may be disappointed, or we may say, well, I can't accept that. That's too esoteric, thinking about Krishna all day long. That's not for me. That's too advanced. But we have to be a little honest. Otherwise, how can we judge? If we don't see how much we're thinking about Krishna now, how are we going to actually see if we're advancing or not? And if we're not only advancing, but we may even go in the opposite direction. Why is, especially material nature is always changing, and as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many disturbances. So one who's not disturbed when there are disturbances, then he said, pragya, he's fixed in intelligence. First, Krishna says, yadahiti, Arjuna was asking, how can you tell a person he's self-realized? How do you tell a person who's not bewildered by the illusory energy? So Krishna says, prajahati yada kaman, sarvan partha monogatan, atmani vatmata tushta, stita pragyasitochite. That a person who's not prajahati yada kaman, person who doesn't, who gives up all desires of sense gratification which arise from mental speculation. In other words, our minds may be full of speculation, but when we follow our mind for sense gratification, that's called, we're put into illusion. But he finds satisfaction in the self alone. In other words, our philosophy is not to just give up sense gratification, is to find out how to actually engage our mind in something that will actually gratify ourselves, that will actually make one happy. That's an intelligent person who knows what activities will actually produce happiness and which activities will produce distress. Now, people in the material world, because they're untrained in modern society, therefore they think that the cause of their suffering is that they don't have enough sex, they don't have enough meat eating, there's no more supersize or Mac, Big Mac. They think that's the cause of their suffering. There's no enough in intoxication, or they're not speculating enough. The internet's not fast enough. They think that's the cause of their suffering. They don't have enough, but they don't realize the fact that they have any of it is the cause of their suffering. And getting more and more and more will not end their suffering. It'll simply increase their frustration. Only when one's mind is fixed upon Krishna can one actually find self and satisfaction in the self alone. The external material nature, however it's arranged, will never satisfy the soul any more than the fish will be happy outside the water. You may give the fish a beautiful fish lady. You may give the fish a beautiful aquarium to swim around in, without water, of course. You may give him a fantastic little house in the empty aquarium with another dying fish with him. But he'll never be happy, no matter how much gorgeously the fish tank is decorated and provided with all facility. You can even throw in Mahaprasad to the fish, and he won't be happy because he needs water. Similarly, the fish, ourselves, outside of the Krishna consciousness, we can't actually become satisfied. It is just not possible. No matter how much we make arrangements this way, that way, we'll never be satisfied. So that's the difference between an asura and a deva. An asura thinks, I need more and more and more, and a deva thinks, I need more Krishna. Everyone needs something more. One thinks, I need more illusion, and the other, more illusory energy. The other says, I need more spiritual energy. Now, giving up sense gratification and finding satisfaction of self alone is a problem. And what does Krishna say? Dukeshu vamanang manaksukeshu vigatas priha bita ragavayakrota stita dirmun uchate. Who is this muni whose mind is fixed in Krishna consciousness? It's one who's learned tolerance, who's not disturbed. Vita raga. Vita means to give up. Raga, to give up passion. Vita baya and fear and krodha and anger. Not so easy to give up these things. We're so identified with them. We think it's my mood. It's my nature. It's me. It's what makes me individual. My anger, my frustration, my fear. This is what distinguishes me from all the other people in the world. Vita ragavaya manmaya mamupashitya, and taking shelter in Krishna. The only way of getting free from attachment, fear, and anger is by taking shelter of Krishna. Vita ragavaya manmaya mamupashitya bahava ganapatapasa. Actually, that was the wrong word. Stita bragya tadochite. Dukeshu vamanang manaksukeshu vigatas priha vita ragavaya krodha stita dirmun uchate. Dukeshu vamanang manaksukeshu vigatas priha vita ragavaya krodha stita dirmun uchate. So, dukeshu vamanang manaksukeshu anavigna spriha manaha. Dukeshu vigatas priha, is that right? So dukeshu is, actually when you feel that you're limited, that's called dukeshu. When your life is becoming restricted. Dukeshu vigatas priha, vigatas. Vigata means this passion, being, and spriha is desire. Dukeshu vagmanagmana. Dukeshu vigatas priha, sukeshu. Is it next word is sukeshu? Vigata? Anavigna manaha. What's that?
First line is sukeshu anavigna manaha. Sukeshu vigata
spriha. Oh, one who gives up desires in the mind. Sukeshu in the threefold miseries, anuvigna manaha, without being agitated in the mind. One is not disturbed in the mind, even in the midst of the threefold miseries, sukeshu vigata spriha, doesn't become agitated, interested here, it says, vigatas, passionate and for desires. Vita ragavaya krodha, stita dirmun uchate. So, two aspects here. Dukeshu vigata spriha, dukeshu anuvigna spriha, one who's not disturbed when there's problems. Dukeshu anuvignaha. And sukeshu vigata spriha. And when there's happiness coming, when everything's going our way, doesn't become interested in trying to enjoy the material circumstance outside of Krishna. When all the arrangements are there, he doesn't think, well, there's a feast that has 108 preparations. I'll try out the first 100 and see if I can make 108 for auspiciousness. Who realizes that I have my limits, and then one tries to gratify the senses in any circumstance as appropriately. Then one can give up vitaraga bhayakrodha, sthiti dirmunuchate. Then one can give up attachment, fear, and anger. Otherwise, if we're disturbed, dukeshu anuvigna, what's that again? Manaha. Dukeshu anuvigna manaha. Sukesha vigata spriha. So if we're disturbed when there's problems, if we actually identify themselves with them, and if we identify ourselves when there's opportunities for sense gratification, profit, adoration, distinction, and other such things, that everyone's glorifying me. Yes, I deserve it, of course, but I'm humble, so I won't tell anyone. Yes. Thank you for glorifying me, but, you know, of course, the most glorious part of me is that I'm so humble. I'm so detached from all this glorification. So keep it up. It's for your, it's for your benefit. It's for your purification that you're glorifying a great soul like me who's so humble. Don't stop. It should go on incessantly. It's like this. So one who's not this vigata spriha, then one can actually give up these problems. Now, in modern society, as explained here, the grihasthas are not taught like that. As a matter of fact, no one's taught like that. It's not like the grihasthas, we just point, oh, the grihasthas, you're all in maya, we're brahmacharis. Big brahmachar. Now from the beginning of life, we've been mistrained. That's why we have mistrained grihasthas. And vanaprastha means to go to Disneyland and play shuffleboard there. That's vanaprastha, go on pilgrimage to Disneyland, if it's open. And sannyas means renounce all kinds of restrictions for sense gratification. I've renounced my renunciation. So unless there's properly trained up brahmacharis, it's very difficult to have any properly trained up grihasthas. And if there's no properly trained up grihasthas or brahmacharis, there's no question of having vanaprasthas or sannyasis. The only time they go in the forest, the vanaprasthas, is to take pictures of the birds or to hunt them. That's called vanaprastha. Therefore, the solution is, Prabhupada said, we've opened these temples all around the world, and we're chanting Hare Krishna and giving out prasadam. Such a simple solution. But that's our ability to help people out of their miseries of material existence, out of their tendency to try and seek the lower nature, the lower happiness of sense gratification. Happiness has to be there. Every living entity is always seeking happiness in every species of life. The only question is whether we're experiencing superior happiness or inferior happiness. So we ourselves have to experience the superior happiness. We have to follow the process ourselves so that we can become convinced that people should we're actually giving something valuable to people that will actually help them. Not that we're going out and chanting Hare Krishna because we hope someone will come up and ask us to cut a record with them. Or we're going out and distributing books so we can get some profit from the book sales. We can come back and get some food and offer to the deity. You know, you're up there and I'm down here, let's eat. No, we're going out there out of compassion, principally for ourselves, because unless we're compassionate to ourselves, though it's impossible to be compassionate to anyone else. Realizing the benefit we're getting, the opportunity we have to take part in the Hare Krishna movement and give up our material attachments. Wake up from this dream-like existence, not think everyone else is a dream and I'm perfectly awake. So I'm going out and shaking everyone up. Wake up, wake up. And they look at me and they say, are you awake? Of course I am. Otherwise, how am I waking you up? How can a great soul like me not be awake? So anyone who thinks like that, he's also dreaming. And when he wakes someone else, he's simply waking someone else up to his dream. So we should realize that we have to wake up ourselves, and we're given this opportunity to wake up others through this Sankirtan movement. And as we make an effort to wake them up, then Krishna will also empower us to wake up too. And that way everyone will become benefited, especially ourselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Maharaj, you... You've already explained by experiencing happiness or joy, or and can you explain also the points of being unselfish and being servant and enjoying? How is this compared to the spiritual life?
Well, everyone has to serve. Our nature is to serve. If we want to serve this material gross and subtle body, then we'll get gross and subtle experience. And if we want to serve Krishna through his representatives and learn the science of serving Krishna with our body, mind, and words, then the result is when Krishna is pleased with our service and he reveals himself, then we'll get spiritual experience. So the soul has to serve. The question is who he's going to serve and what his experience, his result will be. Anything else? So, Rishabh, what did you understand from the class? Can you give Rishabh the microphone? What did you understand from, what was your understanding from the class? Can you say something that you, any point that you noted from the class or anything that you understood from it? Any interesting points from the class?
Be honest with you. You got me.
The class was about that we have to tolerate the urges of the senses, and that we're living like in a dream of material existence, and that the grihasthas or anyone else have to wake up by chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam. Okay, can you say something?
Yes, I actually have a question.
Okay.
If I can. You said that we're like falsely humble. We think that we're humble, but we're not. But how to truly develop like sincere humbleness, not to think that, that we're sincerely humble, how to develop this?
Krishna says, Nanyan gunebhyas kataram drashta eva nupashati. One can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then he can know my spiritual nature. So, we have to take it for granted. Right now we're at least partially, if not greatly, in illusion. And therefore, any credit we think my body deserves goes to me by its activities. The activities of my body, mind, and words, the credit for them should go to me. That's called illusion. And when we realize that whatever I can do in Krishna's service, the credit goes to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and to the Super Soul within my heart, who's telling me what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are saying, we realize that all we're doing is agreeing to become an instrument, and that everything else is done by Krishna through his spiritual energies, then there's nothing to be proud about. The only thing there is to see everything as an opportunity for service. then we can truly be humble. We realize I'm 1/10,000th the size of Devaparan size, and Krishna is everything else. So, it's not difficult to be humble when we realize how great Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's energies are. Then we'll become humble when we fall in love with Krishna and we see everything properly. Then naturally we'll become humble. And even Krishna, when he sees how wonderful his energies are working, he also feels humility. So, it's to see things, to perform devotional service properly, to invoke Krishna and his devotees' mercy, so that they reveal reality to us, and the more we see reality, the more humble we'll become. The more we develop love for Krishna, because humility and love go together, the more we develop love for Krishna, then the more humility will naturally be invoked also, simultaneously. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I wonder maybe if you can tell something, how one can check oneself, either he's sincerely humble or just pretending.
Well, you can always ask Krishna. But as a sincerely humble, well, it's a humility is a feeling. If you don't really feel humble, then it's not very sincere. If you don't, I mean, humility is going to have to develop gradually, real humility. I mean, to know what actually humility is, we'd have to be fully conscious of Krishna to know that. But in the meantime, we're trying to develop it, so it's a feeling. So if we sincerely feel it, we actually feel it. And we're willing to, you know, do some service for those things we feel humble towards. That's a good sign. And if we feel humble and we say, you know, how much, I'm so humble, how much service can you give me? For your purification, of course. You know, look at me, I'm humble. So make sure you serve the humble devotee like me. That may not work out so well. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.